Greetings in Christ. I am Reverend B. Keith Haney. The New Testament reading for today is from Acts chapter 19, 1 through 22. And it happened that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul passed through the inland country and came to Ephesus. And there he found some disciples. And he said to them, "Did you receive the Spirit when you were baptized?" And they said, "No, we've not even heard that there is a Holy Spirit." And he said, "Into what were you baptized?" They said, "Into John's baptism." And Paul said, "John baptized with the repentance of baptism of repentance, telling people to believe in the one in whom was to come after him, that is Jesus." On hearing this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. There were about 12 men in all. And he entered the synagogues and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. And when there came some, and when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew with them from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the halls of Tyrannus. This continued for 2 years so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and the diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the intermittent Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits. "I adjure you by Jesus whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of the Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this." But the evil spirits answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was evil spirit leapt on them, mastering all of them and overpowered them. So they fled out of the house, naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks. Fear fell upon them all, but the name of the Lord was extolled. Also many of those who were not believers came, confessing and divulging their practices. And a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. And they continued to value them and found it to come 50,000 pieces of silver. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevail mightily. Now after these events, Paul resolved that in the Holy Spirit to pass through Macedonia and Achaia, and going to Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." And having sent into Macedonia two of his helpers, Timothy and Erastus, he himself stayed in Asia for a while. O Lord, have mercy on us. Thanks be to God. In many and various ways God spoke to his people of old by the prophets, but now in these days he has spoken to us by his Son. Church, I want you to imagine a room filled with tension. For 3 months, the Apostle Paul has been standing in a synagogue of Ephesus. Every Sabbath, his voice rings out, arguably persuading about the kingdom of God. He is pouring his heart out week after week. The atmosphere shifts from curiosity to coldness. The air grows thick, faces harden, arms are crossed. Then comes a breaking point. A vocal group doesn't just disagree, they get stubborn. They dig in their heels and begin to publicly slander the way before the entire congregation. Look at what Paul does in Acts chapter 19. He doesn't stay away from the fight with endless wars of words. He doesn't compromise the message to keep the peace. He walks away. He pulls the disciples out of a toxic environment and draws a line in the sand. In Acts chapter 19, 8 through 9, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation, he withdrew from them and took the disciples with him. Behold, this is a profound pastoral wisdom here. Our Lutheran fathers have long looked at this moment as a blueprint for confessional integrity. When the pure gospel of Jesus Christ is actively mocked and maligned, the church cannot afford to play games. Separation isn't about pride or a lack of love. It's about fierce, protective pastoral care. Imagine a shepherd watching wolves creep into his pasture. The shepherd doesn't try to reason with the wolves. He gathers the lambs and moves them to safety. When we protect the purity of the word, we are protecting the life of the flock. we separate from error so that we can stand securely on the truth. But notice, Paul doesn't retreat into isolation to hide. He found a new room. He rented out the lecture hall of a philosopher named Tyrus. Picture the scene. Ephesus is bustling, sweltering metropolis in an ancient world. Everything shutting down during the blistering heat of the day. From about 11 a.m. to 4 p.m., the streets were empty. The shops would close. The streets would sleep, except for the halls of Tyrus. Every single day, while the rest of the city took their siesta, Paul and his disciples gathered. Imagine the sweat pouring down their faces, scratching the parchments, the sound of Paul's voice competing with the dry heat. For 2 years, day in and day out, they meet. Acts chapter 19, verses 9 and 10. Reasoning daily in the halls of Tyrus, they continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. This wasn't a weekly pit stop. This was daily bread. This was the heart of what means to be a catechetical church. We live in a culture that loves the dramatic, the one-time emotional crisis, the mountaintop experience, the flashy spiritual high, but the kingdom of God is built on the daily grind of lecture hall. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Discipleship is a lifelong, systematic grounding in the scriptures. It's the slow, beautiful process of being marinated in the promises of your baptism. Look at the harvest of the daily, exhausting faithfulness. Because they show up day after day in the sweltering halls, something miraculous happened. The word broke out of the room. It leaked through the doors, spilled onto the streets, traveled along the trade routes, and ignited the surrounding hills. Luke tells us that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. Out of that hot, crowded lecture hall, churches were born in Colossae, Hierapolis, and Laodicea. Church, the world tells us to make an impact. We need to adapt to the culture, compromise on hard truths, and chase the latest trends. But history tells a different story. It tells us that a small group of believers committed to the pure, unadulterated word of God, breathing it in daily, living it out faithfully, the darkness doesn't stand a chance. Let us be people of the word. Let us protect the truth, passing it down, passed down to us, and let us meet daily at the feet of our Lord Jesus Christ, who himself is the way, the truth, and the life. Amen. O Lord, since you have never failed to help and govern those whom you nurture in your steadfast fear and love, work with us in this perpetual fear and love of your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.